At National University, it's not just a degree in finding your voice or helping a young writer find hers. It's not just a degree in writing the books that move us or the thoughts that transform us. It's not just the degree. It's the degree to which you use it. Earn your MFA in creative writing with online classes that fit your schedule. Visit nu.edu to learn more about a nonprofit institution where students come first. National University, for the greater.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And a little taller doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes you fighter.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Ask Madison Radio Show. We are live from the rather grey and rainy UK, but I choose to smile. So today we've got a really, really fun episode where we're going to talk about two of my favourite things, which is coaching and music. So if there's anyone in the States that wants to dial in and ask questions about either, you know, personal development coaching or, you know, how music affects you as a human, how it works with your brain, then the number is 646-716-7979. So if you're in the States, that's 646-716-7979. And if you're anywhere else in the world, then just hit me up on Facebook if you have any questions that you want to ask me and my guest. Today, I actually have quite a special guest. I have Mia Wilkinson, and Mia's my PA. She's part of the Ask Madison Success team, but she also happened to be my first coaching client. And so I'm going to talk to her a little bit about her personal transformation journey, because one thing that always gets me is when people go, like, well, why do you need a life coach? What the hell is that going to do for you? So I'm going to share a little bit about, you know, why Mia reached out to me, what it's like to coach with me, and, you know, how life is different for her now. And then we're going to move on to our favorite topic, which is music, a little bit of science-backed information, how it affects you and your moods, and things you can do day-to-day to boost your mindset using music. So, Mia, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hello, Mia. Thank you for joining the Ask Madison Show. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fabulous, even though it's gloomy. It's like, it's if you're living in the UK, like being smiley is like a daily practice. It's technically meant to be summer, but whatever. So then, Mia, so as you know, you are on the show to talk about what it's like, you know, coaching with me. So let's do a little bit of the preamble. So, you know, when I started, you know, announcing back in, you know, early 2015 that I was going to move into life coaching away from IT, you know, what made you go, oh my gosh, please let practice on me? Why did you want coaching?
I actually remember this as if it was yesterday, and it was 2 years ago. Back then I was a bit of a shambolic person. I used to have really bad anxiety issues. I'd self-sabotage all over the place, ruin everything for myself. I'd never see anything through to the end because I'd be like, oh, I can't have that. That's not for me. I'm not good enough. So I reached out to you because I thought, I don't want to be stuck like this anymore. And if I don't see this through, then I'm going to be stuck like this forever.
Excellent. Yeah, and it's kind of, you are like my ideal client. So, you know, I kind of tend to go for the ambitious achievers, which is what you are, age 25 to 40. And the reason why I want to help people like you is because I just don't want people to suffer as long as I did. So I'm like 35 now. You're like, you know, 6 years behind me. So I think it's awesome that you have what I have now. And you can kind of build your life as you like it. So, okay, let's go a little bit deeper on this. So what was your kind of most, like, common recurring negative emotion and, like, old patterns about yourself? Tell me a little bit more about the old you.
Definitely worry was a big one for me. And sadness, which I guess stemmed from being anxious as well. So I'd whip myself up into a frenzy over things that hadn't even happened yet. And I'd get worried over nothing, pointless stuff that meant nothing but meant everything to me at the same time. And it was holding me back from doing the things that I loved and believing that I was good enough to pursue those things. So they
cool.
were the main ones.
All right. Yeah, no, the worrying thing, I've never been much of a worrier myself. But, you know, I tell all my clients when they start coaching with me, it's like worrying is a really weird one for me. Because if you really think about it, you're taking a lot of your time and energy thinking about a future. Like the worst thing that could possibly happen that you don't want to happen, you're choosing to think about this thing all the time. And then you go into this little worry spiral, into a massive mm-hmm. panic attack, and nothing
yep.
changes. But... Right? But if you do the opposite, which is not like daydream about the best possible thing could happen, you're called like this daydreamer and you're not in reality and don't be so silly, which I think is completely nuts because, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Mia, that the worrying, the worst scenario and the best scenario, neither of them could happen. So which one are you going to choose?
I definitely choose daydreaming now.
Right? But it's just a really, really weird one. And it's like when you actually point mm-hmm. this out to people, they're like, yeah, you've got a good point there. So to anyone that's listening, daydreaming is okay. And, you know, the worst thing's not going to happen. The best thing might not happen either. So why not feel good and daydream about the best thing? Mindset
okay.
tip 101. Right. So what else? What else was kind of going on in your life? Any old patterns? Anything else that was there?
Like I mentioned a minute ago, I'd never see anything through to the end. I'd always get halfway
yeah.
through and get scared and be like, oh no. And then I'd end up inadvertently self-sabotaging myself by telling myself I'm not good enough for that, or there'll be somebody better than me that comes along, or, you know, oh, I'm never going to have that or do that or be that. And it was,
yeah.
I had dreams like everybody else does. I want the best out of my life, but I was the one holding myself back and I didn't understand why. So that was quite a reoccurring pattern for me, that whole stalking myself.
Well, that's interesting because I also self-saboteur. But the weird thing is I was doing it. Like I got to about like late 20s going, okay, so why am I not a millionaire yet? Why do I keep doing this over and over again? Limiting beliefs of, you know, I'm worthless, not good enough, don't deserve anything. But I wasn't even aware that was going on. So it's interesting that you were kind of aware that you were messing things up for yourself.
Yeah, it was,
but
sort of
others
half
listening,
and half frustration as well.
Yeah.
More than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. To anyone listening, it's kind of, you know, you might not be aware of this stuff, but if you kind of keep seeing this pattern where either you make lots of money or get the job and then you lose the job or spend all the money, or you get the amazing relationship and then you mess it up somehow, there's probably some funkier limiting beliefs stuck under there, especially if you've had some like trauma go on early in your life. So it's something, does anyone be noticing those self-sabotaging patterns for them? So Mia, so the coaching thing, like, had you heard of coaching before?
I must be honest, I thought it was like where people, it was something that other people did, like at that point when I'd heard of it. I thought it was mostly for couples and things like that. I didn't think it was something that I could go and have that would change my
yeah.
life. I thought, oh, you know, that's where couples and siblings and people who have fallen out go for that sort of thing. So I had heard
yeah.
of it, but it wasn't on my radar at that time until I met you.
Okay, interesting. And so how do you feel about taking steps towards improving your mental state and your future?
I was actually so nervous. I remember there was one time when I came to your house and you were coaching me, and I was in
mm-hmm.
tears, like literal tears. I was like, there's no way I'm going to leave here not feeling like this. I was nervous to bare my soul as well, to get
yeah.
it all out, to change who I am, to see things differently, because I've got so used to being the way that I was. What if I didn't like this new me at the end of it all? What
yeah.
if I hated being like that? So yeah, definitely nervous, but excited
okay.
at the same time.
Righty. And what about the whole, you know, because the coaching thing, right, to anyone listening, it's hard work. This is why not everyone does it, because it does, you know, coaching doesn't work unless you do. So
yeah,
Mia, how do you feel about investing your time and money in the future? Feel about
at
that.
The time it was so tough. I remember thinking like, oh, I'm not gonna make it through, but I knew it was for my better and greater good, So I felt good about it at the same time, but also a bit drained, but for a, yeah, in a good way.
Yeah. No, it is. It is a difficult one because it's with coaching. I do get up in your face. I think my favorite comment from, I've actually had a couple from other clients are going, I just want to see, I feel like punching you in the face right now.
I can definitely
cry. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's hard work, especially when, because the premise of coaching is that whatever shit has gone on in your life, you are somehow responsible for it. You've either put up with it, you've allowed it, or you've choose to believe it, or, you mm-hmm. know, you kind of continue with it. And also, it's, you know, when you make that decision to be 100% responsible for your thoughts, your mind, all the people around you, your environment, your dreams, et cetera, it's quite a scary thing to be 100% responsible. And it's it's not easy work, and it's not for everybody. So well done for taking the journey, Mia. So how was the coaching?
I did love the coaching experience. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I wouldn't change it for the world, but there were times where I'd be in tears and bearing my soul and having to accept parts of who I am that I probably wasn't or didn't want to acknowledge, like taking ownership of things and parts of my personality that, you know, you don't want to address because it's easily being comfortably numb rather than dealing with it. So
yeah,
that side of it was hard, but it was also rewarding when I'd got through it and managed to change it all around to benefit me with the help of you.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, no, I just want to touch on that a little bit because one of the things I'm known for is confidence, which my secret to genuine confidence is rooted in self-love. And the trick to self-love is you have to accept all of your dark and light, all of those things that you're not proud of, the mega bitch can be sometimes, that angry person, the waste drunk or whoever it is, you have to accept all those parts of you because they are you. And until you can accept all of that and you can talk about your shameful moments or your past without, you know, repressing it or denying it, and you actually can have a laugh about it, that's a sign that you've actually gotten over this stuff and you can actually accept yourself as a whole person. So I love how you brought that up because it is. It's how can I accept that person who's messed up my whole life for 10 years and, you know, who can be a bit of a nightmare when they're drinking, you know, that kind of thing. It is a hard thing to do, but until you can do that, you can't move on. So thank you for bringing that one up. Right. So what's the question? Stroke my ego, Mia. What was the best thing about working with me?
I think you're very professional, you're patient and you're firm where needed to get the results that benefit people like me who have come to you for help. Your approach, your coaching style is different. I've met a couple of other coaches since I've met you, and I've seen some online, and you have a different approach. You're very firm and fair. And to begin with, I found it a bit direct. I was like, whoa, but it got the best results. And I love that about it. And you.
Yeah, I'm not. I always say, particularly when, you know, because when you're starting out, you do end up coaching friends and family. And the first thing I always say is, I am here to be your friend. When you start crying, I am not going to hug you.
It's kind of a bit disappointing
from people. And I'm just like, just deal with it, honestly. So
that's
thank
that
you
line. Whenever you like, deal with it, I was like, but I don't want to. I just want a hug.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
Awesome.
No, but it's good because it means that you differentiate between, like, you know, friend, coach, family, whatever. I know that you're there to help me. It's tough love. You're there to help me be the best person that I can be. And if you were sitting there going, there, then I really wouldn't benefit from it at the end of the day.
Yeah, this is very true. Tough love. That is exactly my style of coaching. And I do it with love, which I hope you feel.
Yes.
So, all right, then. So let's kind of wrap up this coaching thing a little bit. So, you know, if people are going to come coach with me, what's like the most important thing that they should know about working with me?
Do your homework. If Susan sets you something or asks you to dig deep, think about what you want, really do dig deep and be brutally honest, not just with you but also with yourself, because unless you do those things, it's not going to work for you and you're not going to see the results. It may be painful and it may hurt, but with homework and digging deep and being honest with yourself, that is the best advice that I could give to somebody coming to you.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, you raised a good point there. It's can lie to. You can lie to other people. They probably know you're lying. But the worst person you can lie to is actually yourself, because it's deep down you know it's not true, and it kind of fires off the whole, like, double whammy guilt, shame, anger spiral. So, yeah, I like that. Definitely be brutally honest with yourself at all times. And, yes, it is quite painful sometimes. So, all right, then. So how are you now? What shit did I shift? Talk to me about your transformation.
Wow, so much. So now I used to whip myself into a frenzy and worry. I still have moments of that. I'm only human, but nowhere near as bad. I can look at things in a logical point of view, and rather than feeling anger, sad, guilt, I ask myself, what do I want? What is the end goal here? And I just work towards that, and I don't get myself distracted by the non-important aspects of anything anymore. So, and you taught me that there's nothing that I cannot be, do, or have. So I do see things through till the end now, and I just keep going. And if I fail, I just keep going, which I couldn't have done 2 years ago.
That's amazing. Yeah, so that the reason why I wanted to get you on the show, Mia, because it's what I want to do. It's like, generally with clients, I don't want to have the therapy junkies, coaching junkies. I want to give you everything I know so that you have the mindset and tools to deal with whatever the hell life throws at you. And you are a shining example of that. So, okay, yeah, because I hope you don't mind if we kind of go here. But, you know, I always kind of say that sometimes life knocks you down to see if you've been a good student. So if you're comfortable with it, I just wanted to talk a little about last year, your 2016, which I know was a tough one for a lot of people, particularly yourself. So can we go there?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Shall I start at the beginning?
Yes. Tell me, how was your 2016? Like, you know, high level. We don't need to go into the nitty gritty, but, you know, what high level, what happened? What did you have to deal with last year?
Pretty normal. You know, everyone goes into a new year being like, "Woo, this is going to be my year." And then it got to April and my nan unfortunately passed away quite suddenly. And then 3 months later, my granddad died. And then 2 months after that, I got a tumor in my left breast. And whilst trying to deal with all of that, support my family, be a good daughter, hold down a job, and be in a relationship, I think that was my biggest test, was not only staying sane, but remembering that I am in control.
Yeah.
That was the biggest test for me.
And I think it's quite impressive. And what I loved about it is you're just like, all of this stuff is going on, and okay, it's sad, and you know, I've never had any of the like physical health issues, so I can't even imagine what's that like to control your mind and your panic and anxiety when you have no idea.
It was hard.
But the thing that I like to go a little bit further down the timeline, so you kind of found out that the lump in your breast wasn't cancerous, thank god. And a few months later, what happened?
Oh, it reappeared with some new friends. So I had another one, but luckily that one was also nothing. But because I'd gone through it all once before, I managed to not whip myself up into a frenzy. And even if that had all happened to me 2 years ago, I don't even know what I would have been like, because I can't comprehend it. I don't know what would have happened. I would have been a mess. A complete mess for a very long time, I think. So with what you taught me, it helped me to get through it.
Yeah, and it was just the time when you called me going, I've got lumps in my breast. It was very nonchalant. I'll find out the results soon. And you just kept yourself in a calm state. Because, you know, in those scenarios, you know, it doesn't have to be the extreme of health scares, but you can only do what you can do. And if it's, you know, out of your hands, you've got to try and keep yourself in a good, positive state and do what you can in other areas of life. That's something that I do always say, that, you know, you have several areas of your life. It's very rare that all of them are perfect. So you can always, you know, if relationship's bad, then, you know, there's a reason work can't still be amazing. Or if, you know, if you're not best of your health, you can, like, still give it all in other areas. So, yeah, it's really, really amazing. I'm so, so proud of you. And as I said, you're a shining example of freeing yourself from the personal prison that was your mind. And yeah, it was quite an interesting anxious place, wasn't it?
It was. Bad.
Yeah, but no. But anyway, no, you know, you are an example of why I do what I do, because now I know that you are kind of building the life that you want. You're you're my PA as well,
yep,
doing your sound engineer stuff.
Yep.
So, which brings me on to what we really want to talk about. So, for those listening, Mian and I love music, and we're not just talking about dancing to it. We can actually read sheet music, play instruments, and Mia goes a hell of a lot deeper with that one. So, on to the next section, Mia.
Woo-hoo!
Music. Woo, let's do this. So I know, like, so we did talk about, you know, your really horrible 2016, and I know how much music helped you. And I know that everyone listening, like, I do this all the time, that sometimes you just have to be alone with your music and have a little time out. But Mia, tell me, why do you love music so much?
Oh, that is such a big question. I'll try and summarize it. But, it's always been something that I have been obsessed with, even since I was 2, 3. I feel like I have a much deep-rooted connection with music. Like, I understand it on a different level. I have a better connection with music than humans sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I like the fact that, you know, you can feel it. It can be broken down into so many ways. It gives off so many different messages. It can pick you up when you're feeling rubbish. It brings humans together. So if you go out and see your friends listening to music or having a rubbish day, put some music on. I think, yeah, it's also a form of escapism as well for me.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah, so for me, it's many of the first things that I tell my clients is turn off the TV. Definitely don't watch it first thing in the morning, last thing at night. That's just going to depress you and get you scared of the world that we live in.
Yep.
But to me, like, one of my the music on or have friends around and share music with each other. So that's anyone's looking for ways to improve their life. If you're a TV watcher, turn up the TV and turn up the music.
I can agree with that.
Okay. So, okay, let's go back into, you know, like, what do you know about?
Oh, I lost you a bit there. Sorry.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you. Sorry. Yeah. What did you say?
So I was just saying before we kind of dive a bit deeper into, you know, how music affects us as humans and our brains, et cetera, et cetera. Why should we listen to you? Like, what do you actually know? How long have you been studying music for, et cetera, et cetera?
Long time. So I've been studying music for 18 years now. It started in year 6 when I got lumbered with the xylophone because all the other instruments have been taken. I used to like to play that thing louder than anybody else in assembly because I liked to make myself be seen with my music. And there I went on to study music at college for 3 years, music practice. I was a vocalist, learned to play piano, and then I went on to uni to study music promotion. So I was putting on gigs every week, I was composing, I was attending gigs, I was learning all about the law behind music, I was producing a little bit, learning how to use all the software, the programming, and most recently, about a year ago, I started training to become a sound engineer.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that definitely qualifies you to talk about music. So let's get down to it then, shall we? Right,
yep.
I want to know, like, I love music. Like, one of my names is Bass Hunter. I don't like headphones. I like big speakers. So, like, tell us, like, why does music have such a powerful effect on us humans?
Okay. So, I was actually having a think about this recently. And I also want to know why. Why does it have this effect on us? And the reason is it has the power to heal us as humans. You know, it brings people together. It evokes happiness. It can physically ease pain, it increases motivation, it's actually been proven to improve sleep quality through classical music with people that have insomnia. It enhances your blood vessel function, it can relieve symptoms of depression as well, so like if you're having a bad day, you can put music on. And going into the bringing people together thing, so
yeah,
it's always there. It's always got your back. You know, if you're going to the gym or you're going for a walk or you're just pottering around in the kitchen cooking, you pick a song for your first dance, it has so much more meaning than I think we give it credit for. You know, it's always there. Every moment of your life, it's there supporting you, guiding you through, like the best friend you didn't even know that you had.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's true. It's just something like, you know, certain songs, whether it's major or minor, but it really does get your brain's attention. And we were actually talking about this, you know, the way if you, so you know from your coaching, so if anyone has had like an extreme event in their life, like if that emotion gets triggered again, it like really, really brings back back those memories really, really quick. But it's the same thing with music. It's, you know, if you have a really happy memory, record the memory and print it a lot stronger in your brain than usually. So there's just definitely something about music and the effects on the brain. But how else does it affect us?
So I was, when I was at uni, I was actually looking into a philosophy, idea, theory that our personal music taste is relatable to our natural resting heart rate. And whilst I couldn't actually find any scientific information to back this up, but listening to slower music does actually slow your heart rate down, so it does have a calming effect on us as humans. But also listening to really heavy music can also increase your heart rate. It's because it taps into your emotions, so you literally do feel the music. I actually had another bit that I was going to say here. So I couldn't remember what I was saying. So it actually stimulates emotions through specific brain circuits. So if you hear a good song, you'll naturally want to start moving your body, tapping your feet, having a dance. And another example of this is when you hear like a mother like sing a lullaby to a baby, it has an instant put like an infant to sleep instantly. And that has been around since the beginning of civilization, you know, it's the strongest bond between humans apparently.
Yes. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah, I think because they call it with a bonding chemical with your mum. It's like the oxytocin one. So it's when you're having cuddles, whether it's with your mom or your partner or whoever, it's kind of releasing that. So I think when you kind of combine that touch with the lullaby singing, it's a very, very powerful effect on little babies and humans.
It also releases dopamine, which sets off a specific neurotransmitter in the brain that helps control the brain's pleasure and reward centers. So we often feel music from the heart when actually it's coming from the brain.
Okay, interesting. I always kind of said that I'm a dopamine hunter, you know, because whether it's like you're eating or you're dancing or bonding with another human, that all releases that dopamine reward center. So it's like technically at a base level, humans are just chemical reactors. Something happens, chemical gets released, repeat, repeat, repeat. And yeah, music is a big, big trigger for that one. And yeah, I think we all have dopamine at heart. So, okay. All right. So what else? Tell me a little bit more kind of music mindset to help our listeners here.
Oh, I didn't hear what you said again. This keeps breaking up, sorry.
Technology. We've had a lot of technology problems today. We only got this show put up like about 5 minutes before it's about to start. Can you hear me okay now?
I can hear you now, yes.
Okay, alrighty then. So I was just going to say, you know, what other ways can music affect your mindset?
So it can affect your mood and mindset because it engages emotion, memory, learning, and attention. So there has actually been research that indicates music stimulates emotions through specific brain circuits, which was what I was talking about a second ago. So outside of it affecting this, the brain as an emotional experience, it also has a physical experience. So it can make you feel really good, really sad. But I had something written down that I was going to read out, but I've actually lost it.
That is okay, Mia.
Oh, no, yeah, I have found it. So it engages many stages of our lives, so both individually and in groups. So it can evoke the deepest emotions in people. And it also helps process fear, grief, sadness, and resentment, even if these emotions are held on a subconscious level. So you can put a song on and it can instantly make you feel better. It can take you back to a time, you know, that you may want to forget about or not, as the case may be. And then I was actually reading this article online called The Neurochemistry of Music by Daniel J. Levitin. I actually have the link if anybody wants it, but it looks at trends in cognitive science. So it took a group of 20 people from different backgrounds with different moods, and it tests this theory that, you know, music can enhance different parts of the brain. And so it takes all of the data from that. It's like 16 pages long. It's really, really interesting. It actually proves that music can actually alter your brain state.
Okay. It's an interesting article. Yeah, we'll definitely post the link up for that one after the show. So for anyone that's listening, this is the Ask Madison Radio Show, Episode 2, live from the rainy UK. And if anyone wants to call in, if you're in the States and you want to ask us a question either about coaching, mindset, self-love, confidence, or music and how it affects your brain and you as a human, then if you're in the States, you can call in. The number is 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. And if you are anywhere else in the world, then make friends with me on Facebook and send me a message. So I've actually got some questions here over on Messenger. So, Mia, we have questions for ourselves.
Okay.
So, you were just talking about how, you know, music can either make you really, really happy or really, really sad. Like, do you have any songs from your sad times?
Songs that make me sad?
Well, either, like, you know, songs that you would play, you were playing to yourself during difficult times.
Oh, well, I'm actually, this is something I've got into recently, which is I would try and listen to a song that used to make me sad or used to make me angry or anything like that, and try and recycle it so that I can listen to it. But I can't really listen to the script anymore because that just reminds me of like a time when I didn't, like I had stuff going on, so I can't listen to them. But if I'm feeling sad, I generally tend to listen to really heavy music like drum and bass to make myself feel better, and it does work.
Okay, interesting. So I think things for me, so there's a few, you know, when I was kind of going through very, very bad times, there's a few songs which kind of remind me of those times, and the kind of lyrics were motivational, but in a sad way. And one of those was Coldplay, Fix You.
Oh, I love that song.
Oh. Yeah, no, that's a pretty one. So Coldplay, Fix You. Which I'll just get the lyrics up in a second. The Pink song, that Just Give Me a Reason. And I think my favorite line out of that one is that it's been written on the scars in our hearts. We've not been broken, just bent, and we can learn to love again. It's kind of one of my favorite lyrics, that one. So let me just get these Coldplay Fix You ones up because I thought they were quite good. That's, you know, it's quite sad when I actually read it back, but it's when you try your best but you don't succeed, and when you get what you want but not what you need, when you feel so tired that you can't sleep, just stuck in reverse, when the tears come streaming down your face, when you lose something you can't replace, when you love someone but it goes to waste, could it be worse? So it's quite like sad, depressing lyrics, but you know,
it's kind of,
yeah, but it does actually give you a little bit of hope because it does, you know, it says lights will guide you home and ignite your bones, and I will try to fix you. That was kind of one song that helped get me through the sad times. And also another couple ones.
For that.
Which one?
Is it Shape of My Heart? Is that that one?
Which is that Ed Sheeran?
No, Sting.
Oh, Sting. Oh, yeah, Sting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Okay. And I think, yeah, if we're gonna go way back, then Pink Floyd, there's two songs of his, Wish You Were Here and Comfortably Numb. Those are two songs which are quite fitting for sad moods, but also to bring you out of them. So, okay, so thank you for that question, whoever asked that one. So let's go back into the music, Mia. So, where were we? So, okay, so we've told a little bit about how, you know, why music is important to us as humans. So let's go a little bit kind of into, what can you actually do day to day? And I know there's one thing, and I laughed out loud when you told me this is what you actually do. So there's, okay, so I'll talk about it for a little bit. So in the personal development world, or if you ask any really successful person, they tend to have a morning routine and bedtime routine. They tend to differ a little bit. For example, you know, there's a really good book called The Miracle Morning, and there's a few different parts to it where you kind of get up and you kind of move your body a little bit, you do your gratitude exercises, you kind of focus what your intentions are for the day, drink lots of water, et cetera, et cetera. And then, for example, of a bedtime routine is, you know, again, a bit more gratitude, focusing on what you're doing, maybe meditating, no phones, that kind of thing. Because they say that the mood that you are in when you go to sleep tends to be how you are when you wake up. So a tip for anyone out there, if you're being how Mia was, and you're worrying about your day, thinking about how you hate your life, your job, et cetera, et cetera. If that's what the record that's playing in your head when you're falling to sleep, that's, you know, not going to do so well when you wake up. So if you're falling asleep, it's best to think happy thoughts and what you're grateful for. But let's go back to Mia and her morning routine. So what is the one thing that you do every morning that gets you going for the day?
I have a morning rave by myself with my headphones in.
good old skank around the bedroom, is that?
It's purely because I love to dance and it gets my blood pumping, it gets like my energy flowing, it makes me feel good. And there is actually scientific backup that says that people who listen to 20 to 30 minutes of music each day had pressure and a slowed heart rate compared to those that don't. So that's how I begin my day. I set my day off right.
Excellent. No, that's what I honestly thought. I can imagine you having a little rave up run around your bedroom. But then, yeah, it's just something that you naturally do, which I would recommend to anyone, whether it's, you know, do a quick 60 seconds of push-ups or jumping jacks, or I prefer put on songs that you love and have a good old dance around the kitchen, et cetera, et cetera.
It really does work.
I know this. It really, really perks you up. So for anyone listening, that's a tip of the week, is put on your favorite tunes in the morning, have a bit of a dance. Dance like nobody is watching. Sometimes I do actually kind of look across to my neighbor and they are in the kitchen and they can see me jumping around like an idiot. But as I mean,
carry
I don't
on.
Actually care. Give them a little wave. Cool. Okay, then. So, tell us about music. Have you seen that documentary on Netflix? What's it called? Alive Inside. Have you seen that one?
You were talking to me about this, and we were talking about how people with dementia can suddenly remember. If you like to play piano or you put music in front of them, it's mad.
Yeah.
How they can just suddenly remember.
Yeah. It's for anyone who hasn't seen it, I would definitely go and check it out. It is called Alive Inside, A Story of Music and Memory. And it's a fascinating one to watch. A, because it's quite sad. Like, I don't get scared about a lot of things, but, you know, losing my mind, actually having Alzheimer's or dementia, like, one thing that does actually really, really scare me. For example, like, the documentary is about old people in, you know, in America. And so they're in these nursing homes. And we're talking like, you know, 80, 90 year olds, not so much like 70 year olds. And they literally, when you first start watching this documentary, they are, and I hate saying it, but they are like vegetables. They're literally just sat in a chair, drooling, staring at the wall, like nothing, like nobody home, boats closed, no one's there. But what this one guy did, and I don't remember his name, but Netflix, Alive Inside, what he did, which is so beautiful. So he obviously, you know, talked to the people's families or tried to find out a little bit more about them, what when they were born, you know, what music they were listening to in their 20s and 30s, so when they're partying, having a good time. And what he did is he put, you know, loads of what should be their favorite tracks onto a little iPod, and it's the most beautiful thing to watch. He literally puts these headphones on, these vegetables, sorry to say it, and they suddenly come alive. And not just like their eyes open, they literally start talking and they'll start bringing back these memories of times when they were 20, literally just through music, where, you know, they've been sat there for months or perhaps years just staring at the wall like no home. Everything comes to them. In some cases, maybe not for the 90-plus-year-olds, but for the slightly younger ones, they're actually getting up and out the chair and they're dancing. So it's just, it's a beautiful thing to watch. So if anyone hasn't seen it, get yourself on Netflix and search for Alive Inside. It's an awesome one to watch.
I haven't seen that. I need to watch it now.
You will love it. But it's such a beautiful thing. If I ever get old and senile, I hope you would do that for me, Mia.
Yeah, bring you an iPod. Same.
A little skank around the bedroom. Cool. All right, then. So what else is there? I think when we're talking, you know, something about you've just been reading an article about sort of more like science-backed ways music can help your everyday life. Is that you
yes.
I was talking to?
Yeah, it was. We were actually talking about, so we touched a bit on like what it does to your heart rate and how much your heart rate changes when you listen to music. And then I was talking to you about that Spotify thing that I found on Spotify.
Okay.
So it's not uncommon knowledge that I don't run unless I'm being chased. I won't run anywhere, like not even for the bus. I'll only literally run if my life depends on it. But I was on, because you know me, I'm always looking into like why does music have this effect on us? Like, why do you like what you like and why do I like what I like? And yeah. I was just flicking through Spotify, looking at other people's playlists, and I think it's called Spotify Run.
Okay.
And what it does is, if you go for a run and you start like moving your arms to get the momentum going, it will pick songs for you that go in time with how fast you're running, which I thought was really cool because that's going to motivate you to A, probably run further, and B, probably run faster. So I thought that was amazing, but I'm probably never going to use it because I don't run.
Well, I can tell you from my own experience. So I'm, for people who are listening, like I lived in Saudi Arabia and I, you know, started smoking when I was 12. So I'm like strong like bull. I can do circuits till the cows come home. But when it comes to more the aerobic activities, it kind of sounds like I'm dying when I start running. And so obviously to get this a little bit better, I decided, you know, I was going to do the 5K, the 10K, the half marathon. And also from growing up in Saudi Arabia, like I had, I like to be aware of my surroundings, just like to be safe, alert at all times. So when I was doing like the 5K, didn't have music on, didn't think I needed it. When I started training for more the 10Ks and the half marathons, I was thinking, like, oh, this is such a long distance, like an hour plus of running, how boring, poor lungs. But then I actually thought, I love that. I can dance for hours, put some music on and I'll go for hours dancing. So I thought, right, well, now this is the time. And it's really, really true. It's like, I'm not going for sprints and like super duper times here, but put some music on and I literally can run for hours. If you put some drum and bass on, just like you said, I will run a lot faster with a massive smile on my face. But I'm actually going to try that because I do feel the urge for a physical challenge later this year. So I'll give, Spotify Run. Thank you for that tip. I've never heard for it before. I'll have a after
and they
show.
Do actually I touched on it a little bit earlier, but they do actually prescribe listening to classical music to treat insomnia. Now I don't fully understand the science behind this myself, but it's the soothing effect. Do you remember we were talking about the dopamine, the oxytocin and your brain? It lowers your heart rate, because we touched about what it does to your heart a little bit, but it simultaneously does both at the same time. So apparently it's supposed to like calm you like into a meditative state so you can sleep. And that has actually been proven that it does actually work. Obviously it won't work for everyone, but it's worked for more people than it hasn't worked for.
Yeah.
And the same thing you mentioned, relieving stress as well. It's exactly the same.
Okay. And it's funny you say that, because as much as I love music, I cannot listen to it if I'm trying to work. Doesn't matter what it is. Could be like funk, disco, soul, rock, whatever. I just, as soon as I hear it, I want to get up and dance, but I can just about keep my bum on the seat while I'm working if there's classical music in the background. But even then, like some pieces come on, I'm like, wow, that's so amazing. And I just kind of lose myself into it. But yeah, I can see how, yeah, nodding off to the next bus, that would, yeah, definitely help relax you.
It's the only time that I don't listen to music is if I'm trying to sleep. I just can't. Any other time of the day, because I think it's important to have it around, because it can, you know, boost your mood if you listen to a radio and a song you haven't heard for ages comes on. It can instantly change your mood.
Yeah. And I think if you love music as much as we do, it instantly gets your system and awakens your circuits in your brain when you probably don't want to. So, okay, cool. So what else? What other tips have you got for us?
Right. What else have I got for you? So we spoke about this a little bit earlier, but motivation. So we touched on running, but motivation in a social setting. So I have been professing for such a long time that music is the universal language of the soul. It brings us together. It does. You know, it's like I said earlier, it's one thing that we all have in common. You know, I bet there's a lot of people that could hand on heart say, I wouldn't know a lot of the people that I know unless it was for music. I know that I can say that. Like, I wouldn't know half the people that I know. I wouldn't have had half of the experiences I have had. And it brings people together, you know. It brings people together in a place of love. So if you go see a band together or out, and I said about the whole first dance at a wedding thing earlier. So in that sense, it can, from that, physically ease pain as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was something like, and sleep quality, like, it heals you. It literally brings you together and heals you. And I think that is just amazing. It's one thing that we all have in common as humans. And I'm sure a lot of people will agree with this. It dominates so many conversations, which is amazing. You hear a good song, you want to share it with your friend because you want them to feel what you feel when you listen to it. You're like, listen to this, feel what I feel.
This is very, very true. And it's like, it's what you just said reminds me of that Bob Marley quote. It's how does it go? It's like when the music...
The good thing about music is that when it hits you, you feel no pain.
Yeah, I like that. You kind of lost you a second for there. But yeah, the good thing about music is when it hits you, you feel no pain. And I think that's very, very true. There's just something about it, and it just speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, well, do you have any other science-backed tips for us on music?
I have a couple of bits that I've been looking into, but I can't actually scientifically back them up yet. Because, as you know, I've been looking into various different bits and pieces yet. So I've massively been looking into why it affects us in different ways. But it seems to be a universal, down to what you decide and what it does for you. It's individual. It's down to each person. But the main things are with the oxytocin and dopamine, and it opens up your blood vessels. So it improves your heart rate as well. So blood flow around the body. So it gives you better blood flow. If you're listening to a happy song and you're feeling good, it actually opens up your blood vessels.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right, then. And how else? How else can, for people listening, what other tips for give the listeners? Are you done?
If you're having a bad day, I strongly advise, or you're not feeling great, you know, if you've had a bad day at work, you're just not feeling in a very good mood, I strongly, strongly recommend putting your favourite song on and having a dance. The health benefits, as everything we've been discussing, of like the heart, the mind, the body, it will make you instantly feel so much better. And I think everyone will agree that no matter what you're feeling in life, you'll always turn to your music. It gets you through. It's got your back. It's always there. So, and the more you get curious about these things, the more you look into why it does that for you, the more you will realize it actually has a humongous benefit on your well-being and your state of mind and your overall happiness.
Exactly. Cool. Right. So I've just seen the time here. We have about 10 minutes left. So I'm just going to give out the number again. So if anyone in the States wants to call in and ask questions, then the number is 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. And for everyone else, I've been saying, get me up on Messenger and ask me some questions. And funny enough, you're just mentioning put your favorite song on, Mia. One of the questions we're being asked is, you want to take that one first?
I'll let you go first, actually, because you've been asking me all the questions.
I have so many. You know this.
I was blessed with having a favorite song from the age of two. So.
So I listen to I don't discriminate. The only kind of music that I don't listen to, or I would rather not listen to, is death metal. The rawr, that stuff, which I know you have listened to at some point in your music career.
Still do.
I love a little bit of disco, 60s, 70s, funk, soul. So one of my, anything Earth, Wind & Fire. If you are in a bad mood, just put on September, Let's Groove, Boogie Wonderland, any of those. Honestly, I put money down on anyone not starting to tap their feet or smile.
You can't listen to them and feel sad. They're literally the best.
I literally don't understand it. And I do wonder, I don't know what you think about this, but I think there does seem to be a different energy around music nowadays to music back in the 70s, not sure about the 80s, but it generally I had a bit of a disco party the other weekend. There just seems to be something about the energy, the tone of it, that's very, very different.
No, I agree nowadays. With that. They don't make them like they used to.
No. Exactly. So, okay. So, yeah. So, back to the question. Favorite song. So, anything Earth, Wind & Fire. It does be kind of what does have meaning to me is the Bee Gees, How Deep Is Your Love?
This was when
I was struggling with the concept of self-love. And it was when I was trying, when I was, finally getting it and more putting it into practice, it was more as if I was singing the song to myself. How deep is your love for me, rather than somebody else. I have no idea who the Bee Gees were singing to, but yeah, those are some of my favorite ones. And there's anything by Sub Focus if we want to go down the cheesy drum and bass route. So yes, I don't discriminate, and any music is good, particularly when it's
all
live.
It. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What about you? What's some of your favorite songs?
So I grew up listening to a lot of Motown, funk, soul, disco from my mum, but I also grew up listening to a lot of the Eagles, so anything by the Eagles. But my favourite song in the whole world, and this is quite a cheesy old one, is The Turtles, Happy Together.
So
I remember hearing
song.
It when I was really, really small. It's got to be one of my first memories, hearing that song and literally being in love with it ever since. I've never got sick of it. I must have listened to that song thousands of times and not got sick of it. It's my go-to. Having a good day, happy together. Having a bad day, happy together. All the time. I love it.
Back to your life.
That's a song as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I like that one. All right, so before we wrap up, is there anything else you want to share about music? What it means to you?
I think my thing that I wanted to get across today is it is a form of free therapy. It can heal. It has so many more benefits than I think, people do realise. Someone once said to me once is there's two types of people, those that listen to music and those that understand it. And I think that's sort of true, but if you want to get down the music snob route, but I think everyone can use music to their advantage. Because obviously we touched on the health benefits a little bit today. And I think that ties in quite well with the whole coaching thing. Because when you were coaching me, when I was doing my homework or trying to remember what you said to me, I'd have music in, coaching myself, remembering all of my lessons, remembering what you told me. And it got me through. It got me through a lot of the bad stuff last year. And it also brings me back to a place to remember and to be mindful as well.
Yeah. Okay, that's pretty cool. All right then. So I did have a question about coaching. So what would you say to people? So we're kind of rigging up the music thing here, but this is a show about personal development. For people who are considering coaching or think that it's not worth doing, it's just something that those weird positive Americans do. What would you actually say to them?
I would say do it. It is hands down the best thing that I've ever done in my life that I had no idea that I needed. I think it's opened up a lot of doors for me, both mentally and physically. It made me be the person that I knew that I could be, but wasn't sure how to be. And now I live my life to its full potential because I know that I can. So if anybody's doubting it, do it. like, honestly do it. It's the best thing I ever, ever did for myself, 110%.
Hashtag JFDI. Okay. So, I mean, so just,
I nearly
just
said that then.
So, if anyone is interested in coming with me, then I just want to dive into it about what actually happens. And so I actually created my signature system. I call it the GIFT system. It's not very original, but, you know, whenever people mention life coach, they call the horizon grown a little bit. But how else I reframe this so that people, you know, it might mean something to them. And I actually call it GIFT. that's what I call life coaching, which, you know, me a coach for. And so there's five steps in my signature system. And the first bit is know yourself. So really, really get to know yourself. Self-awareness is the key to everything. And I think that I started training in the coaching world. You know, they say that 9 out of 10 people don't know what they want and don't know themselves. And I was like, crazy, there can't be that many people. But over the last 3 years, where we dive deep into the industry and coach lots of people, it is very true. So to anyone listening, I invite you to go and try this out. Like, literally, like, go and ask your friends questions about themselves. You know, what are your goals for this year? What are your big dreams? What do you love? What do you like about yourself? Do you hate yourself? Try and ask them some of the non-standard questions, and you'll be surprised, like I was, that 9 out of 10 people don't really know what they want and they don't know themselves. So that's the first step, because, you know, if you need to understand what the problem is before you fix. Know is the first part of my signature system, followed by shift. And this is the heavyweight shifting with my NLP neurolinguistic toolbox, which I do actually have something that's pretty cool to share. What is your proudest achievement of this year? What did you ask for me? What did you ask me to do for you?
You helped me get over my 22-year fear of flying. I have been terrified, like panic attacks, being sick, the works. Had to go to the doctor to get medication, and you helped me get over that after 22 years of being crippled by being absolutely petrified.
Yeah.
Which I still can't believe, by the way. I can't believe that it worked, but it does. I still can't believe
it. Yeah. That's how I explain NLP. It's like weird shit that works. And it's literally the reason why, like, I do hypnosis as well, but with NLP, it's just so quick and so effective. Like, I'll just quickly, I've only got a few minutes left, but so Mia literally came around to my house, you know, doing business PA kind of work. And we wrapped up with, you know, doing Fear of Flying, which if you've ever been to a Tony Robbins event, when he gets you guys to walk on fire, he uses a few techniques, which is the same thing when you're trying to shift someone's phobia. And I remember I sat Mia down going, right, I want you to close your eyes and get yourself into that state where you're in the airplane seat. And we're talking instant fear. Like, I was shocked. I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm not sure if I could do this. But
it's
I did. Yeah, and give it half an hour later, I was like, so now how do you feel about flying? She's like, yeah, I'm fine with it. And you got on a plane and you got back?
Yep. Yeah, and I slept on the plane as well. And I had food on the plane, which I don't usually do.
Okay, yeah. Oh, there you go. So NLP. So that's the bit of the shift part of my system. And then there's, you know, training. This is what I would love to be in schools. It's actually showing you how to flip your mindset and to think more positively and do more of the daydreaming rather than the worrying, but, you know, teaching you how to talk to yourself in a more positive way. So flipping your internal chatter in your head and giving you the ability to choose your thoughts. And then on to the next bit, which is my favorite bit, which is love. And it's how to start a love affair with yourself. Because a lot of, you know, I used to think, and I think you probably thought this as well, Mia, that, you know, loving yourself was vain and selfish.
Yeah.
And, you know, you shouldn't do that. So, you know, but it's honestly love is the missing key ingredient to any situation. And if you want, you know, sky high confidence in any area of your life, it all starts with self-love. And then the last part of my shift system, so you've got no shift, flip, love, and then live. And that's simply, like, you know, giving, you know, making sure you've got the tools, productivity, planning, scheduling, you know, big thing to actually be architect of your life and create the life that you want. So there you go. That's the Ask Madison shift system in a nutshell. So, but before we wrap up, in tradition, I like to get the guest and myself to share a favorite quote. So, Mia, but first of all, like, thank you so much for being a guest on my show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and it's really, really interesting. You are the shining example of what happens when you actually show up and do the work on yourself. And you're going to love this quote, but meeting you was like listening to a song for the first time and knowing it would be a favorite. So thank you for being in my life.
Thank you.
So before you head off, Mia, what's your favorite quote?
What you don't forgive is yours to keep. That's my favorite quote. I don't know who wrote it, but it's something that's always stuck with me.
Wow, I like that one. It's a bit of tough love right there. Yeah. And for me, my favorite one on the music vibe is, if you don't listen, you will feel.
Yes,
so there you
I
go.
Like that.
Right, that was the Ask Madison show. Thank you for listening and see you again in a couple of weeks.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Fire Radio.
At National University, it's not just a degree in using a strand of hair to find the truth. It's not just a degree in making sure the wrong guy doesn't stay locked up when the DNA doesn't match. It's not just the degree, it's the degree to which you use it. Earn your master's in forensic science with one course per month. Visit nu.edu to learn more about a nonprofit institution where students come first, National University, for the greater. At National University, it's not just a degree in finding your voice or helping a young writer find hers. It's not just a degree in writing the books that move us, or the thoughts that transform us.
Liftoff.
It's not just the degree. It's the degree to which you use it. Earn your MFA in creative writing with online classes that fit your schedule. Visit nu.edu to learn more about a nonprofit institution where students come first. National University, for the greater.